So I'm really, really pleased this afternoon to be visiting a colleague and students at North Cambridge Academy in North Cambridge. And this is particularly interesting to me because this small group came along to our Festival of Learning in the summer where we focused on sustainability. So that's why we're here. But perhaps more importantly, I think we need to introduce the people who will be having the conversation today. So can I start with you? Say who you are.
Lorenzo Caro, and I go to North Cambridge Academy.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, my name is Oliver Abaka.
And yeah. You clearly come here. And yeah. You are in year...
11.
But you were in year 10 at the time, weren't you?
Yes.
Okay, so you're in year 11. And yeah. Finally?
I'm David Burke. I'm head of geography here at NCA.
And geography is, as we all know, is a subject where sustainability
It's the sustainability and climate change subject, really. And so it was a great opportunity for... 10 of our students to be able to work with other schools from the Cambridgeshire area and really analyse it quite in depth. So it was a great opportunity for you and for me. I mean, I learned so much on the day as well.
That's really, really good to hear because it is all about the learning at the end of the day. So what I'd like to start with, I suppose, is to ask the students what they felt they learned from the day and, you know, what they came away feeling they needed to do next. So maybe if we start with you, Ollie.
Well, I think that we approached a lot of sustainability, what climate change is and ways that we could reduce it or tackle it.
Did you study that beforehand just in geography or are you also interested in it?
I'm interested in it as well, but we also studied it in geography.
Okay, thank you. What about you, Lorenzo?
I learn loads of skills that I can develop into my life. We had a bit of a debate in our group about what we thought sustainability should be all about, and we came up to a decision where we all agreed on what we wanted, and I think sustainability is a very key information that everyone should know and should be advised about because it can change the world.
So obviously there were different branches of sustainability that you focused on the day, I think. Lorenzo, what was the one that you were focusing on in particular?
Tribal communities.
Okay, and what did you find? What decision did you
make? We found that deforestation and what's it called? Well, people just burn illegally the Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Illegal logging.
Yeah, illegal logging.
It happens a lot in the Amazon at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah, there was all that stuff in August, yeah. That was quite, shocking. Worrying, actually. There was something like 80,000 wildfires instead of 40,000 as there normally should be. So it was a big thing. But it's interesting, isn't it, how the media, it dies down very quickly afterwards. Of course, the problem is still going on. But yeah, obviously tribal communities would have been affected by that. And the wildfires in Australia at the moment.
Yeah.
What's the TV show on ITV that's about to start?
It's not. Have I got?
No.
The jungle one.
The jungle one. Yeah, the jungle one.
The jungle out and
dead. The wildfires in Australia are the closest they've ever been to that, and there's a worry that there might be a problem.
And that will really make it even more significant news.
Absolutely. Yeah. Suddenly we'll all start caring again.
Yeah.
Ollie, what was it that you focused on?
Mostly agriculture.
Okay.
In our group, and how it would reduce the effects of climate change.
So, what was the change that you wanted to go for in the day?
Well, overall, we all had many opinions, but overall, we came to the conclusion that not eating these livestock would be the best, and not chopping down, not logging a bunch of trees.
What sort of livestock particularly was it?
Cows were the main ones, but then the rest of them also wanted to move on to everything. So they ended up going up to chickens and everything.
Oh,
so
goodness.
Poultry in general.
Poultry? Yeah. I don't think poultry contribute to climate change.
No, not so much. No.
I disagreed with that, but they were very adamant.
I mean, it's such an interesting topic, isn't it? Because we all deal in these absolutes. And so the absolute that we hear in the media is we absolutely need to stop eating any form of we all need to go vegan. But of course that could be just as damaging as if we continued on our current path. So it's about reducing what we eat and changing the habits that we have. I know I'm guilty of it, that I'll quite happily go to Nando's and have a whole roast chicken, whereas really we should be having a small portion of meat, but they're much more in the way of vegetables or potatoes.
I'm the oldest in this room. Saying what my mother would have said to me when I was growing up before we ever knew the word sustainability.
Right, but this is all...
Meat and two veg.
This is exactly how it should
but
be.
But my question really for you guys is that all sounds very commendable and sensible, but the population on the globe is growing massively. And I understand by 2030 there's going to be another 2 billion people living. And it's all well and good talking about this balanced diet, but how do you keep producing sufficient balanced diet for another 2 billion people? I'm about to hit the table. Because I think that is the challenge. It's the growing population, growing demands, and it's really thinking about looking at our students here. What do we do? Because this is the problem that we face as a globe, don't we?
Yes, I would have thought so. So, I mean, boys, what did you come away with any ideas of how are we going to be sustainable for these two billion extra people?
We're definitely going to have to cut down on, cows and other livestock. We're definitely going to have to cut down on those. There's other things as well, like switching energies to more renewable energies.
Come back to the livestock, because I think what's really interesting about that, and another big change from when I was your age, there was no such thing as McDonald's when I was your age, believe it or not. It did not exist. And you rarely went out for a meal, back to this balanced meal. But of course, what I think is driving a lot of what we're doing and what we're eating and in your lives, it's marketing and it's the needs of business, isn't it? So we're also talking about how people, perhaps in developing countries, they think that what they want to have is what you already have, because that's a sign of affluence and wealth. So how do we educate people to understand that that's not where we should be going? And more to the point, how do we nudge businesses in the right direction so they understand what they're doing?
Another problem is that quite often, if you'll go to the shops, you'll see that fruit and vegetable can be quite expensive compared to going out and eating. So
that's really true, actually. And this obsession with only giving you straight, food that's in pristine condition.
Yeah.
The fruit has to look lovely. Although I think some shops now are giving you slightly wonky fruit, aren't they?
I think so. I mean, I've always been a massive advocate for the shops that you go in and you bring your own packaging entirely.
Yeah.
Is
there any in the Cambridgeshire region?
Not that I've found. There will be. Yeah. Not that I've found that can offer the range of foods that, that I want. I'm always popping down to Tesco for a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
And any other supermarket that you care to visit.
Absolutely. No plug.
And that really comes back to perhaps, I've come up with this term, and I hope nobody else has used it, but green pester power. Pester power is usually associated with young people pestering their parents to have sweets and toys. I'm thinking of younger children than you. But if we're talking about a green pester power, which you embrace, how can you influence what's happening? Who can you influence? How can you do it? What else do you need?
Well, the person we would really need to influence about this would be our parents. They make the choices. And believe it or not, the dietary choices, because that's who cooks, realistically, in families. So we'd have to make them understand what's good and what's not good for the planet.
How would you do that, Lorenzo?
Maybe, I don't know, sit my mum down, try have a normal conversation with her, explaining.
A normal conversation as opposed to an abnormal, non-sustainable conversation.
Yeah. Maybe.
And your dad?
No,
just the mum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
do you think she'd be receptive?
I think she's a very open-minded person and she'd be open to trying new things. That would be better for the planet.
Do you think it's because we were talking a minute about education, but is it not just about educating you guys at school? Is it about educating grown-ups as well? And if it is, how do we do that?
Definitely. I think that one of the very educative tools right now that we have is social media. I mean, you always see parents on their social media telling you stuff that they found funny, which wasn't actually funny. But
that's because parents are sad. How would you use it then?
I think you definitely have to, also the news, stuff like that. Oh. You'd have to find new, I guess, innovative ways to get people to try vegetable combos, maybe a few new restaurant types, instead of just, I'll go down, have a quick
unhealthy
meal. Yeah.
I think also targeting assemblies in different workplaces, that could be a good idea. I mean, we always have assemblies on what's good and what isn't good in the society in our school.
I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think the biggest downfall of people who try to go either vegetarian or vegan is that we try to do it as a sudden,
as a sudden change.
So perhaps in schools and in workplaces, perhaps we need to be trying to have a reduce your meat week or something, where it's only for a week, but that habit of, oh, actually, that wasn't that bad. Maybe I'll keep this going a little bit. And it would only take a few people to start doing it before it catches on and it gains momentum. Maybe that would be something that we could look at here at NCA.
Yeah.
Perhaps. I know Mr. Fox has looked at the canteen potentially going vegetarian.
He's your principal?
Yes. Yeah.
And geography teacher as well.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Another geography teacher.
Geography teacher. So you'd hope, and you know, we could be doing more as a school. I think we are close to having the funds that we need to enable the solar panels that we've got in school.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's just that little connection
more,
of actually, right, let's get them wired up, let's get it to the point that we need to. So maybe that's something we need to be looking at, certainly in the next couple of months.
Yeah, but surely it would need contribution from everyone in the community to step up to these new renewable technologies. As, I don't know, I've never thought we've had the funds for stuff like this.
It's an issue for you know, we're an independent school, but it would be an issue for us as well because some of this technology is really expensive.
Yeah.
But having said that, can we afford to risk the earth? You know, it's that sort of cost-benefit analysis, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think your boy's making a really good point about influencing, because I think it is about influencing. It's about bringing the community with you, looking at the workplace and how people influence in the workplace. But Mr. Burke, I'm looking at you as if geography is responsible for solving all the ills of sustainability. If you had a blank piece of paper and you had Mr. Fox absolutely there on your side and you could draw up a curriculum for the whole school, what would the underlying principles be of that curriculum?
Oh, well, obviously you'd have your core skills that you'd need in any school, your English, maths and science, of course. But in all of those...
You don't mention a language, by the way.
And a language. Spanish. Or Italian.
Italian.
And but no, going beyond that, I certainly would pin the curriculum that we have on the three big problems that the world is facing and the solutions to those problems. So obviously you'd have climate change, overpopulation and resource extraction and the use of our resources. And if all of the work that we were doing was relating back to, okay, how does this correlate with the problems that we're facing as a planet, then I think maybe that is the way for us to understand that this is, certainly in my opinion, the greatest issue that we've ever really faced.
Oh, I'm a history teacher and I can tell you it is the greatest issue we have ever faced.
Yeah.
Between us, we've covered it, I think.
Yes.
Can I add to that potentially? I think it's brilliant what you've just said, and I think probably this is what they're doing in Italy where all the schools are having to do this.
Yes.
But, yeah, exactly. Well done, Lorenzo. One for the Italian side. I don't know if their football's so good anymore, but that's a different conversation.
Okay.
But have you heard of, I'm sure you have, the United Nations Sustainability Goals? Have you come across those?
I think we may have had an assembly at the Festival of Learning.
Oh, we talked about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because complete disclosure here, I'm doing a course at the moment, so I'm learning an awful lot about these things. You guys knew far more than I did in the summer. I hope I'm catching up with you. But the United Nations back in 2015, they basically put together 17 goals with 169 objectives, which sounds completely overwhelming. But what was really interesting about those goals, they weren't just about climate change, they weren't just about what you said, they were also about social inequality. Because the point they were making, it's back to these tribes, you know, for example, that if people are in that sort of place, they cannot play the role they need to play in being positive about the planet. And also, of course, it's just it's iniquitous to have such social deprivation and such wealth in other parts of the planet. And that's not going to bring us together. So I'm just saying that because the SDGs, they're quite useful as pointers of perhaps different issues that you wouldn't necessarily would think are in the sustainability agenda.
I mean, it's interesting that you bring up the sort of the low-income country side of things. I mean, it's I feel that we, as as more developed, as richer countries, need to be setting the bar as to what we need to be doing. You know, India's view on it is absolutely, I actually agree with it, is when the USA or the UK are saying to India, okay, you've got 300 million people who in the next 20 years are going to be relying on coal as their main source of energy. What are you going to be doing about that? And quite rightly, I think they come back to us and say, well, what are you doing?
I think the Paris Agreement, which obviously Donald Trump decided to bow out of.
Yes.
My understanding of that, having just done it recently on my course, is that they were looking to invest green money in these different economies to help them make that transition, so they miss the fossil fuel step.
Yeah, really, we need them to jump over fossil fuel, as much in the way as sort of landlines in developing countries. Nobody's bothering putting down landlines for telephones. They're just jumping straight to mobile phones.
Yeah.
We need these communities as they move from the simplest forms of energy. We need them to jump over to a solar panel on the top of every home. But the funding for that has to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
And it has to come from, I think, grassroots schemes where we are consistently demonstrating that we can do it. The more money that we spend on sustainability and sustainable energy, the cheaper it will become for everybody as it's more in demand, and we should be able to get there. I find it quite a difficult topic to teach, because I myself at times are a little bit hopeless in terms of, can we really do it? But we must. We must find a way.
There is no other choice, is there?
Well, exactly. Mm. And I feel as you do sometimes. Mm. But I look at these guys and they're just so creative, and you see solutions where we see problems, you know, that, and that's where the education is so important. So bringing it back finally to a micro level, because to look at the big picture, it makes you feel overwhelmed.
Terrifying. It's scary.
It's scary. So what you do is you look at what can you control. So in your school environment, have a little think about this. If there was a behaviour you could change, we know you want your solar panels, so we can come back to that. But if there's a behaviour you could change, what would it be that you think would help with some dimension, whether it's to do with the buildings, to do with what, catering, consumables, you know, all the stuff around the school? There's one thing you could change. You're Mr. Fox for the day. What would it be? Ollie?
Well, the school's actually been dealing with litter recently, and the canteen's changed from a lot of plastic to mostly cardboard now and paper straws.
That's very good.
It's good.
It's really good. And you think that that's been well received by the students, that they understand why the school's done it?
They understand why, but...
Whether it's well received is another matter.
Yeah. I still think they're...
The straws, most people still disagree with them, but it's a good change.
Okay.
I think they're still
the most quality.
Not enough. It's not enough. We still have so much one-use plastic, it's called, in our canteen, and... Forks are still plastic.
True.
And we just need to get on the idea that we need to have stuff that can be recycled and can be, and won't end up in a landfill.
Circular economy idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So catering, I think food is a big thing, and also food waste. That's something we're looking at the moment, actually. The amount of waste is just disproportionate. Other than food, have you any ideas of anything else you would, as Mr. Fox for the day, you would change?
New minibus.
We just got one.
Electric transport.
I think that's a really good point, because we've got several minibuses, and we're just saying that as they die, we have to replace them as far as possible with electric ones. So we're talking about that as well.
That'd be interesting.
Plus, you could just charge it at Budgens.
How could you charge it at Budgens?
Because it has the...
Has it?
Does it really?
Yeah.
Good old Budgens.
I did not know that.
Another supermarket, you see.
There you
go. Beyond Tesco's.
Sainsbury's probably, and Asda,
any other stores. Yeah, okay.
And imagine you've had a coup d'etat and you are Mr. Fox for the day.
I am actually planning one.
Yeah, you are. Don't let him know, anybody.
Okay.
What would you change? Apart from the solar panels, which you desperately need to be connected.
I think that's something we really need to work on. I think single-use plastics, but in all of our behaviour, I think the curriculum that we teach as a whole school, there should be a whole school focus on climate change and sustainability. But I think it needs to filter out into homes, and I think we need to find a way of getting the message into the hands of parents who can then make decisions for their own families. I think that needs to be the focus of the school. The school has always been a hub for the community, so we should be leading the community in changing our behaviour. And I think that's where the success will lie.
I think you're absolutely right, because it is all about community, and it's all about communities working together. And what I really do hope, Lorenzo, Ollie, and your good self, Mr. Burke, is that over the course of this year, there'll be further opportunities for us to connect around this as schools and forge alliances that actually are going to put pressure on our communities, on our local politicians, so that we're all basically pushing and nudging for what's right, however, you know, we do that. So can I thank you all for giving up your time this afternoon?
Thank
really
you
appreciate
no problem
it.
Us.
Thank you.
And it's nice to meet you boys. I didn't meet you on the day. Nice to meet you too.
Yes,
so thank you
absolutely.
Very much.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.